So he prays, Father, if it will, take this away from me. I don't really want to do this. He's confronting it before the temptation has come. I don't really want to do this. So he's praying ahead of the temptation. So he would not enter into temptation. He cuts it off at the pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours. I'm doing your will. Pray that you enter not into temptation in verse 40. And in verse 46, he also repeats it. Because temptation, when it comes on you unaware, it can take you. But if you pray before, it can be eased. That's not to say, hey, temptation's going to come, but you should be praying that you enter not into it. Yes, temptations are going to come. We know. There's no way you can get away from temptation unless you get away from the world. But you can pray. And for Christ, that was help. And an angel came and strengthened him for what was about to happen. And he was in agony. You know, I've heard people try to actually diminish Christ's feelings about going to the cross and say, oh, it wasn't that he didn't want to go to the cross. It's because he didn't want to pour out God's wrath in the second advent. What a load. This is the context. Come on. This cup passed from me. When he pours out the wrath, he's giving the cup to the nations. He doesn't say, let this cup pass from them. Christ isn't going to be all weepy when he pours out the wrath of God. Because he was a man, he felt human emotion and feelings. He could feel it. He could feel, I don't want to die. And the suffering, he could feel what it was going to be like. But not just the pain, just the temptation to strike them all dead. When they spit in his face, just to bolt them out of the blue, dead. To pray them to their graves. To be able to just take it all and say, Father, forgive them. You need to pray. I remember there was a comedian who said, you know, you're in trouble. Wait till my dad finds out about this. I think that was Jim Carrey. You know, he could be very petty and small. He could be angry. But to just take it, that's quite something. Though he was God, he was also fully man. And so everything hit him with the same heaviness it hits us. Yet he was without sin. But still, it's no sin to say, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to go through this. Or when he says on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Not that God had forsaken him, just that he felt forsaken. Don't take away from Christ his humanity and his feelings. Because I think that it makes it okay for you to be in doubt. To ask to be relieved. It makes it okay for you to wonder, is God there? Lord, will you help me? Verse 47. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote with the servant of the high priest, and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear, and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests, and the captains of the temple, and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour, and the power of darkness. And they took him, and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. The Son of Man betrayed with a kiss. Judas chose a kiss. Not a handshake, a hug, or a poke, point. He kissed him. That's a sign of affection in the midst of a betrayal. That's very poetic. The disciples, reasonably, after Jesus had just told them, or at least in the context here, you know, or reason, within
a reasonable amount of time, you know, it's time to sell your garments and buy a sword. They say, should we, now is now the time, we're going to start fighting for the kingdom. And one of them hastily cut off one of the servants of the high priest's ear. In the Gospel of John, the man is named Malchus. Peter cut off his ear, but Christ touched him and healed him. Because that was not what he intended. He was saying the times are changing. Not that at that moment it was time to start taking up arms. But his ministry, his peaceful ministry, was coming to an end. They would not be going around as they used to. Like Paul, when he went out preaching the gospel, he made tents to support himself. You know, we all have to work with our own hands. And people will say, well, what about turn the other cheek? When it's my cheek to turn, I never saw any, you know, place in the scripture where we are to just sit idly by as the helpless or the weak are oppressed by the strong, like the Good Samaritan. You know, we should help those in need. We should come to the defense of those who cannot defend themselves. You know, when it comes to the gospel, if someone wants to slap me on the right cheek, I will give them the other. But that sort of has a loaded meaning, like a slap in the face has a meaning. Like it's like saying you said something that came out of your mouth that made me slap you. If someone punches me in the face, I might run before I would beat the stuffing out of him. Because I probably shouldn't beat the stuffing out of someone for my own sake or my pride or to show how tough I am. I don't think that's Christian. Well, let's say I see someone bullying someone. You know, I should put a stop to it. Shouldn't I intervene? If I see someone oppressing someone with a sword, shouldn't I put my sword between him and his victim? I'm not saying necessarily you should go around killing people, but the point is, you use the tool. A sword is just it's like a piece of power. Like, I have a gun. I don't want to shoot anyone with it, but I know I can hold people at bay with it. It is a piece of, it's power in your hands. Sometimes we take that power to us. Sometimes we cast that power from us because we have a greater power operating. Like when Christ was on the earth, there was a greater power. You didn't need a sword because you had the Lord. And you say, well, don't you have the Lord today? Yes, but we're in a different time. You know, the miracles I look to God for right now are righteousness, peace, and the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And I do believe there's a time coming when you will cast aside your arms and take up the arms of the Lord, the spiritual weapons. We take those always in the Spirit. But I mean weapons that do real violence, but not